perhaps a strange Bible reading to have read on Remembrance Sunday. I've chosen it because of one phrase, where the people are told, the officers and men, you have never been this way before. And this last week in our five church schools, British Legion and others have been doing assemblies on remembrance about where people went, what they did, places they'd never been to before, the like of which they'd never experienced. Joshua 3, verse 1, early in the morning, Joshua and all the Israelites set out and went to the Jordan where they camped before crossing over. They pitched camp, having packed up, and they camped a few miles away from where they started by the river Jordan. And yes, they were on the east side. For 3 days they stayed there. The river was in flood because, as our reading said, it was the harvest time when it always floods. And the Jordan is a big challenge, even when it's not in flood. They're looking across towards a certain town. There was Jericho. They wanted to capture. It was some miles away. And then the ark, which had the Ten Commandments in, symbolizing a presence of God, entered the water. And the water abated, it stopped. You say, really? Am I meant to believe that? Well, we know historically that this has happened before. It stopped 16 miles north of where they were. We have records that say it happened in 1267, 1906, and 1927. It's when the banks of the river fall in and the water is temporarily blocked. And yes, people in more recent times than Joshua's day have passed with their feet dry. And the miraculous is not in a means, but God's complete control over nature. So it happened not by chance, but at the exact time God willed. The Battle of Jericho was a great victory. But before that, they faced fierce combat. But God went before them into the unknown. You probably have no idea necessarily who you're sitting next to in church, but there's somebody in church today. He's 95. It was his birthday yesterday. He's called Leslie. He landed on Juno Beach in Normandy in the second wave. He served in an ammunition troop, moving armaments into their position. And he speaks about how they lived in holes for days. Many friends were killed. And later on, he fought through Germany, Belgium, and Holland. Somebody who's 95. But somebody else is just a bit younger than me. He was a young officer when these things occurred. And yes, I asked him, could he give me an example of where he'd never been before in his experience, a new experience under pressure? And yes, he talked about the streets of Northern Ireland. And he's saying, as a young captain, it's quite easy to be fairly distracted because you're so aware of what road you're on, what might be around next corner. But then it's a young soldier who's perhaps just 17 at the back of a troop who's never been on the streets of Belfast before. And for them, fighting in Belfast, well, they'd never been there before. This man also told me how in 1989 he was based in Colchester, and he said what he did was really spontaneous when he saw what happened. There was a car bomb. The IRA bombed a driver. He lost both his legs. He couldn't get out of the driver's door, so this officer opened the passenger door, climbed across, and dragged the man free. There could easily have been another explosive device in that vehicle. He said that was a moment when he looks back on it where he'd never been in somewhere like that before. Let me read to you also now something written by somebody I know very well. He's not here. He's a guards officer, but he's been seconded for some years now to the Special Forces. And this brings back, I think, something of a horror of going into certain positions. All the following, he emailed me, said, the following examples occurred with about 5 hours of each other on the first operation my company conducted in Afghanistan. The first operation my company conducted in Afghanistan in early 2010 was the first air assault be conducted as part of Operation Moshtarak. It was the first time we stepped out of Camp Bastion. We'd only arrived in the country 10 days before, and we'd not trained for an air assault. We were an armoured infantry company. We spent the previous few days going through orders and rehearsals and poring over maps, satellites, images, and drone footage. And then young people imagine, just imagine what it was like for this officer leading these men. He writes this: we were due to be inserted on 4 Chinook helicopters, the large double rotor aircraft with a ramp door to rear. There was 2 British and 2 Canadian. On these 4 helicopters, we somehow managed to squeeze 140 soldiers, which included approximately 20 Afghan troops, as well as a quad and trailer carrying a field generator for power to charge batteries and radios and the like. We are carrying everything we needed to survive for about 4 days, all our spare ammunition. We were being dropped into a very hostile location. He goes on. I remember walking up onto the back of the Chinook in the dark with all noise from the engines. We stood squeezed up in the aircraft. There's no room for seats and no desire to sit. As once the aircraft touched down, we need to be off it very quickly. And he talks there about how he'd never been in that sort of combat situation before. He says this: I filled that dim green light noise in the helicopter with prayer. It was the only thing I could think of doing that might help us when we landed. I had certainly, he says, never been there before. He then talks about how they landed, and I won't read all of it to you, but it's pretty graphic and terrifying at the same time. He told me he hadn't ever told his mother or his wife and children about exactly what had gone on. But on landing, they realized there were 6 armed men about 400 meters to the north of one of the platoons. And they wanted to work out where they were, and they weren't, in fact, allies. And he says this about how they leapt out. And he was moving a bit here about his platoon sergeant. Tam was my most experienced, reliable sergeant. I placed him in this platoon to help shape and develop what was my youngest and least experienced platoon commander. Henry was 19 at this point and a reliable and capable young leader. He'd just been with me the shortest amount of time. The sergeant, Tam, had been a guardsman in one of my first platoons in Northern Ireland. We'd served together for a few years. He was my most reliable and experienced sergeant, a good friend and advisor. And then he talked that when the door opened, Tam fell as he was shot straight through the knee. And the medics evacuated him. And then he goes on to talk about what had happened in the next moments and the next days. He says, we spent 10 days fighting the insurgents to gain control of the area. On about day 7, we gained enough control to conduct a search for the local market, abandoned since our arrival. And we discovered and recovered the largest IED cache and factory up to that point in Helmand Province ever being found. However, it cost us 7 casualties as a company, all gunshot wounds, including my most capable and reliable platoon commander, who was tragically shot by another nation's forces in a blue-on-blue incident during our extraction. Horrific when you think about what went on. That officer is my youngest cousin, my baby cousin. He's quite grown up now. But I think about what he went through. And he said to me, when I said I was preaching on Joshua, I said, can you give me some examples of somewhere you've experienced where you've never been before? And that's a bit of a summary of some of the things he said to me. Never been there before. But also, for all of us, there are places we've never been before. Perhaps for young people, a frightening new school. Perhaps for adults, a job way beyond us. Perhaps a relationship breaking up. Perhaps the death of someone close to us. How do we cope facing the strain and anxiety of the unknown? Since the birth, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, God says, not now follow the ark, but follow me. Each of us, friends, have that dark river of death before us. But 2,000 years ago, Jesus Christ went through something which was far worse. He faced the worst for us. He knows what we've been through, are going through, and will go through. At the cross of Jesus, Jesus said, I've never been this way before, but I'm doing it for you human beings whom I love. And of course, God raised him from the dead. And nothing is more important than for us to put our trust in him. Maurice Wood, who was later Bishop of Norwich, who's a distant relation of mine, was a chaplain on D-Day. He went to see the injured and dying men on the beach. The beach had been mined by the Germans. When Maurice last did a confirmation in my church in London before he died, he ended with this story. He said, when I was on that beach, a soldier said to me, sir, walk exactly in my footsteps and you will be safe. And Maurice Wood said to those being confirmed in central London, he said, the Lord Jesus Christ says exactly the same to us. I don't know what you're facing or will face, things you've never faced before. But only one person can lead us through that minefield, and that's the Lord Jesus Christ. He can lead us through death to life. We're going to sing in a moment a great Welsh hymn. And that hymn is based on this passage from Joshua. When I tread the verge of Jordan, bid my anxious fears subside. Death of death and hell's destruction, land me safe on Canaan's side. That's why we need to walk exactly in Jesus' footsteps, in life and in death. Amen.